With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into hour number two of Wildcat Insider. Mitch Fortner, AJ Shaw across the glass. I want to thank Wyatt Thompson back in hour number one for his time here on the show as he's traveling with the basketball team up to Iowa City. They left at 2:30 this afternoon. It's a quick turnaround before they play the Iowa Hawkeyes tomorrow night. 8 o'clock with pregame at 7 here on News Radio KMAN for the first round of the NIT. Meanwhile, at NewsRadioKMAN.com, it is officially underway. The 2024 Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge is on. $750 in cash will go to first place. If you finish in second, a 65-inch Roku TV will be yours. Finishing in third place, you'll earn yourself a $250 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu. That is going to buy you a lot of steaks. Speaking of steaks, speaking of sports, we welcome back into the studio for the first time in a while a former host of this show, former resident of Maui, Hawaii, and now he's at Booth Creek Wagyu. Tyler Dreiling is back in studio. How does it feel, bud, to be back in K-Man?
This is great, man. A lot of great memories here with you guys. I think this is my first time in the studio since we did that last show, and I think you sent me off with a live rendition of Piano Man or something like that, but... It's good to be back. It's good to see you guys again.
I bet we do have that audio somewhere. We'll have to go
please don't
go find it. You'll just have to remind me of the date because it feels like it's been a long time. I've been on the show now for 10 years, so yeah. It's probably been a little while ago. And John, of course, no longer here, and now I've taken over this whole thing. So, but very excited about this bracket challenge. Before we get there, we'll obviously talk about the men's NCAA tournament. But I know for a fact, and I've been following you on Twitter, of course, since we've worked together, and you've really been, like myself, promoting the women's basketball team this year. Like myself, you have really gravitated towards how good, I mean, in the preseason, how good this team could be. And now we learned yesterday, I was at the selection party, the watch party at the Shamrock Zone, and the K-State women do earn the 4 seed. They're going to be hosting. They'll take on Portland on Friday afternoon at 3:30. But just give me your thoughts on this year's women's basketball team and how fun it's been for you to follow this team, and now they'll be hosting the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
It's been a blast. I mean, that group is just so easy to root for, and, you know, they've had their issues dealing with injuries, you know, with Ayoka Lee and such. But that's just made, you know, it makes you appreciate them even more. Them going down to Waco and beating Baylor down there was such a big deal for the program. And something that's been kind of fun for me is that in my role at Booth Creek Wagyu, we've had the chance to host the coaching staffs of several K-State sports for some tasting events. And so we had the women's staff in with us a couple of months ago, or it was whenever they had the off week in the middle of the Big 12 schedule. And so I got to spend the evening with Coach Mitty and his staff and all of their spouses. And it just adds that human element, I think, to sports, which is such an important aspect. And so getting to know those guys just makes it all the more exciting to see their hard work pay off. And hopefully Bramlage will be rocking and rolling for them this weekend.
You know, you mentioned Bramlage, and Gabby Gregory yesterday was promoting, let's pack Bramlage Coliseum. And the team I know will continue to do that on social media. I mean, I don't know if you have your tickets yet, but if you're out there and you do not have your tickets yet, go get them because they're selling at a pretty decent pace. It's a healthy pace. I think we are on our way to a sellout. I hope we are. I hope we're close. We had a couple of games that got there close. I remember the Texas game and the KU game. Those two games were man, I think they were environments we hadn't had in probably 20 years.
Yeah, and I mean, with it being the 3:30 start time, I feel like it's lining up perfectly for when the kids are going to get out of school. And you know, you can see, I mean, it seems like, gosh, 30% of all of the fans at women's games lately have been kids because, you know, they just attract so much to the Gap Goat thing and just all of the fun that you can tell that's taking place on the bench with the K-State women. So I expect it to be a really cool environment for the K-State women.
You know, I just have an idea. There weren't a whole lot of snow days this year for schools mm-hmm. here in the area. So let's just not have school on Friday.
Yeah, just let them out at 2 o'clock or something like that.
It's a pretty important day for Manhattan, Kansas.
It is.
And it's a 3:30 tip. I know that's not the most convenient, but it is also Friday.
Right.
So let's just get out of work early. Let's head over to Bramlage and support the women in the first round against the Portland Pilots.
By the way, I was looking at their schedule last night. You know, they beat Gonzaga by one, which may have resulted in K-State getting to host Gonzaga losing.
Big part of it,
but
yeah.
I didn't realize that Portland had played Gonzaga twice previously earlier in the year, and they lost those games by a combined 73 points.
Yeah, I think the last one was exactly 50-point, yeah. a 50-point loss.
Yeah, it was nuts. So they just got absolutely waxed by Gonzaga twice and then did K-State a huge solid by beating them in the West Coast Conference Tournament, and now hopefully K-State can take care of business.
Well, and I think K-State for the first and second rounds got a pretty decent draw. You know, Drake is actually a popular pick to upset Colorado, and I was thinking to myself, you know, if K-State does not get the 4 and they end up with a 5, I think the place I want them to go to is Boulder because Colorado's kind of skidding right now. They've lost 6 of the last 8, even though Colorado did play in those last 5 of those last 6 losses ranked opponents. They're right now not playing their best basketball. I think K-State is getting close to being back to where they were first half of Big 12 play and where they were playing their best basketball. I don't know if you saw what the reaction of the team when they heard that they were a 4 seed. Yoki was jumping up down. I think the ankle's okay. I think we're very close to 100% with Yoki. She won't be 100% till the season's over. It just won't get that healthy. Nobody is. But I couldn't be more thrilled for the Cats hosting. So again, the women will host Portland at 3:30 on Friday at Bramlage Coliseum. Colorado and Drake are after. I wish it was flip-flopped. I think it'd make everybody's lives easier. But the Cats hopefully will get that second round game at a decent time on Sunday. Let's talk about Booth Creek Wagyu. First of all, I think we need to talk about maybe the big question about Wagyu, and that is exactly what is Wagyu?
Mm-hmm. It's we have so many questions that we get asked so many times each day. And that might be the biggest one is just what is it? And so Wagyu is a breed of cattle, just like Angus or Hereford or Holstein are breeds of cattle. But Wagyu is native to Japan. That's where they came from originally. And Japan exported some Wagyu, some small quantities of Wagyu to the United States and to Australia in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. And so what we are raising on our ranch is our descendants of those original exports that came to the U.S. 50 years ago. The breed itself is just very well known for its high marbling. It marbles at a higher rate than any other breed by far. And, of course, marbling or intramuscular fat is where beef gets its flavor and its tenderness from. So on our high grades, we have our product divided into different grades based on the marbling that they have. But on our high grades, you're talking about truly the most marbled beef that you can find anywhere in America that was actually raised here in America. And it is a buttery, melt-in-your-mouth experience. I mean, it's been a lot of fun for us to play around with the different steak cuts, and also a big part of who we are is our sampling kitchen. You know, our store has free samples going throughout the day, and that's a big, you know, joy for me is just serving samples to people who haven't had it before, because you do get some pretty good reactions from people being almost overwhelmed by how buttery and tender it is.
So I just did a quick Google search of just Wagyu beef and pulled up some pictures. And I got to say, just by looking at the pictures, it looks more delicious than just your regular cut of beef out of a grocery store.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it all has to do with the marbling. And, you know, like I said, we have these different grades, and so we have a whole spectrum of different levels of marbling, and we do that for a reason. I mean, just like with coffee or with wine, everyone's taste buds are different. You know, if you could say that you like coffee, but that doesn't necessarily tell you much. Do you like it black? Do you like it with, you know, all of the frilly stuff that, that Starbucks can throw in it? I mean, there's a whole spectrum there. So some people love our, you know, our highest grade because they want to get the absolute maximum Wagyu experience with that melts-in-your-mouth texture. But there's also people who finds that highest grade to be too, you know, rich for them. And it almost, to some people, doesn't even taste like what they're used to a steak tasting like. So they prefer our lower grades. So offering that whole spectrum allows people to really dial in what they like. And once they find that favorite steak, I mean, they come back and that's what they stick to.
Now, when it comes to higher grades of meat and they hear the name Wagyu, it could be maybe a little bit intimidating when it comes to like preparing meat. Some people also maybe get a little bit too carried away. I see a lot of chefs come out and say like, oh, you just need a little bit in salt and pepper and you're good. I'm sure you get a lot of questions about how to prepare Wagyu and how to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the common answer? First of all, just preparing the meat and then putting it on the grill.
Yeah. I mean, the most common answer would be to just not overthink it. You know, I think that people assume that they have to go full, you know, Michelin star chef in order to prepare Wagyu, or else they're not doing justice to the quality of the meat itself. And that's just not the case. In fact, it's really the opposite, because the meat is so good, it's got so much flavor all on its own, that you don't have to get really complicated with the rest of the recipe. You can go ahead and use, you know, your rosemary and your garlic and your thyme and baste it in butter and all of those different things if you want to. You just don't have to, because there's enough flavor there by itself. And so with our high grades, you know, I tell people, stick to salt and pepper, and you're good if you do it that way. But ultimately, at the end of the day, however you are most comfortable preparing steak, go ahead and stick to it, and you won't go wrong with Wagyu. For me personally, I mean, when I was here doing the show with you guys several years back, I'd never cooked my own steak in my entire life, and I didn't do it really in Maui either. It wasn't until I moved back and we started this project that I started cooking steak, and the way that I learned how to do it was just YouTube tutorials. I mean, the internet is your friend. Like, you can, you know, go on there and find a couple of easy methods for preparing these steaks, and it's really not that complicated.
And how do you like your steak cooked?
I like a good medium rare. I certainly appreciate the folks that say they want it still mooing. But I actually prefer to get it a little bit higher than that, because it gives the fat more of a chance to render into flavor, in my opinion. But again, you know, these are my taste buds, and they're not the defining force on how you should cook your steak. But for me, I go with medium rare.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. But let's say final four cuts of Wagyu steak.
That's good. Okay, so you've got your perennial number one seed, a ribeye, that definitely is in that mix. You've got your kind of your really solid but maybe unproven two seed. I'm going to go with the KC strip in that regard, which for me is probably my favorite cut overall. Number three, of course, you can't go wrong with a fillet. Now, a fillet is going to be the most tender cut that exists anywhere from cattle, but it's also a little bit leaner cut. So some people on Wagyu, they prefer the ribeye or the strip just because there's more marbling than there is in a fillet. And then for my Cinderella pick, I'm going to go with a steak called a Denver cut. And a lot of people haven't heard of that one. It's just one of those cuts that, that on regular commercial cattle breeds, they usually aren't turned into steaks because they don't marble out that well. There's nothing really that special about them. But man, with Wagyu, once you get that marbling in there, it becomes basically kind of a budget KC strip or a budget ribeye. And I just absolutely love the Denver cut. So that would be my Cinderella.
Now, for those that don't know where Booth Creek Wagyu is, where are you guys located?
We're on McCall Road, just in front of Menards. And then we've got Culver's that just opened next door to us. So you can combine our free samples and then go over and get some frozen custard.
Booth Creek Wagyu presents the 2024 Bracket Challenge. You can go to newsradiokman.com right now and fill out your NCAA tournament bracket. Guys, cash, TVs, gift cards to Booth Creek Wagyu up for grabs, and you do not have to be a sports person to win it. I've been hosting a bracket challenge here at the radio station now for 10 years. You know how many times a sports person has won the bracket challenge? Twice. More often than not, non-sports fans win it.
Who were the sports people? Because I know that I never won it when I was here.
So I won it one year.
That now it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm one of the sports winners. John never won it. You never won it. Mason never won it. Matt never won it. He's never also participated, but it's been mostly non-sports people that win the bracket challenge because it's really kind of a who's the luckiest out of these picks. Mm-hmm. There's so many upsets these days. It gets crazy. But NewsRadioKMAN.com is where you go. Get signed up. Fill out the bracket. It's for free, and you're taken care of. But, Tyler, we're not done. We're going to go through the bracket. I want to get upset picks. I want to get Final Four picks with Tyler from Booth Creek Wagyu. When we come back, you're listening to Wildcat Insider. Wildcat Insider continues. I'm Mitch Fortner with former host of this show. He is now at Booth Creek Wagyu. Tyler Dreiling joins us in studio as we talk 2024 Bracket Challenge, which is presented by Booth Creek Wagyu. Head over to NewsRadioKMAN.com. Get signed up. Fill out your bracket. Click enter. And you're ready to go. It's for free. And we're talking cash, TVs, gift cards to Booth Creek Wagyu up for grabs. Your chance to win is this week by getting signed up as the NCAA tournament will officially get underway with the first round is when you need your bracket in by Thursday morning at 11 o'clock. All right, Tyler, giving you some time now, you've started to look over the NCAA tournament bracket. I want to get some predictions out of Tyler Drying. I'll do mine later.
Okay.
But you're in studio, so I want to get yours now. You'll get the first opportunity to make predictions
that,
here.
That
on,
doesn't sound
on
like
K-Man.
A. That's not an advantage. You're going to listen to mine, and then you're going to make your own. That's not an advantage for me. You can portray it.
Listen,
as
I'm the host. We go in my direction.
Okay.
Well, I may want to go the opposite.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
No, actually, I do have my Final Four, mm-hmm. my title game, and champion already picked out. It's kind of weird. I was telling people here in the station earlier today, I've never done this before, but I'm kind of working backwards from the championship game and then working backwards. And I've never filled out a bracket that way, but I'm going to give it a try. So I'm really not stealing anything actually, but I'm just trying something different.
That is how I usually fill out a bracket, is by kind of identifying my Final Four and working backwards and then mixing in some Cinderella picks at the end. But as you mentioned in the last segment, I've never won this competition, so it's never really worked that well for me.
Well, and typically, if you're just going from round to round, starting with 64 and going to 32, like me as a sports guy, we're going to overthink these things and do a lot of research that at the end of the day is not going to matter, and we're going to blow up our own bracket by doing too much work. I'm not doing as much work now, so I'm not thinking about it as much. First of all, I wanted to ask actually about Iowa State. Iowa State, in convincing fashion, wins the Big 12 tournament. Houston does lose. They're still a one seed. You know, in North Carolina, they lost their ACC championship game to an NC State team that made one of the most improbable runs in postseason tournament history, winning 5 games in 5 days. I think UConn was the other team in recent history that did that in the Big East. Do you feel like Iowa State should have been a one seed and not North Carolina?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that they should have been a one, but I do think that they got underserved by the committee with the draw that they got being a two seed. I'm okay with them being a two seed. I just think that their path is probably tougher than what they deserved. And we saw that from the committee, and we've seen it, you know, in years past as well, that the committee just doesn't value conference tournaments that much in terms of impacting seeding. So I wasn't really surprised by it. And, you know, to be honest, Iowa State, They're annoying. They're really good, and I respect the heck out of
you talking about
what
the team
they're doing.
Or the fans.
Well, a little column A, a little column B. Like it's out of respect that I say this, but like their fans and K-State fans can be a little bit this way too. You know, they can see themselves as the underdog in every single situation, and so they were pretty fired up on Twitter with their seeding situation. And so even though I kind of agree with them, I'm okay with it.
If history just sticks with Iowa State, it's not like they're going to make a deep run in the tournament anyway. I'd mentioned in the previous couple of weeks, I was just making the statement simply as Iowa State doesn't win the big one. In mm-hmm. football, they don't. in basketball, what I mean by the big one is a Sweet 16 game. I think they've been to two Elite Eights all time.
Yeah.
And that's, as a, you know, a Power Six program, that's not a good look.
They're actually on a two-game losing streak to South Dakota State, so keep an eye on that 2-15 matchup.
And T.J. Otzelberger's old team. Mm-hmm. Right away, he'll face off against them. I don't know if you're at the game, but definitely the lowest point for me this season for the K-State men was the Nebraska game when Big Red came in, and at the end of the game, it is a deafening Go Big Red chant, which reminded me of the 2010 football game when Taylor Martinez ran over all over the Cats. Does Nebraska get their first NCAA tournament win this year? They're an 8 seed against a 9 seed, and a team that I would probably want to avoid in the first round in Texas A&M, who's kind of hot right now.
Yeah, I was at that Nebraska game, and that was probably the low point for me as well. I had hoped that we'd never hear those words in that building ever again after they left the conference. But I do think that Nebraska is in a decent spot. I'm not a huge believer in Texas A&M. I'm just an absolute sucker for sports history and tradition and things like that. So I think it's really, you know, kind of a backwards way, I think it's really cool that Nebraska has never won a tournament game, because that's just such a wild statistic to me. So I want that to remain intact, but I don't think it's going to survive past this weekend, because I do think Nebraska will beat Texas A&M.
For Nebraska's misery in basketball, even if it was KU that was playing him the first round, I'd probably still root for the Jayhawks to keep Nebraska away from their first ever NCAA tournament win.
Well, I would say that my attraction to sports history and things like that, it does have a limit, and no, I would be all Go Big Red if they're playing KU.
Speaking of the Jayhawks, they're a 4 seed. They will have 13-seed Samford in the first round, which, by the way, I think it was 19 years ago today, a 4-seed KU lost to Bucknell. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of history for you. I think it was 19 years ago. Potentially no Hunter Dickinson or Kevin McCuller for KU. Did the Jayhawks get out of the first round?
If they don't have either of those guys, then no, they will not. I do think it kind of sounds optimistic for Dickinson to be able to make it back, and then it's more of a question mark on McCuller. Samford can shoot it, man. They can shoot it from three. And the story with teams like that in the NCAA tournament is, look, either they're hitting them or they're not. And if Samford is hitting them, I think that they absolutely could knock off KU. But it's just as easy to see a 25-point KU win if Samford, you know, just isn't ready for that moment and they shoot, you know, 4 of 24 from three. If that happens, then KU will have no problem moving on.
Tyler Dreiling from Booth Creek Wagyu is our guest in studio. The 2024 Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge is underway at NewsRadioKMAN.com. Get signed up today. Fill out the bracket. It's all for free. And a bunch of prizes up for grabs as the NCAA tournament gets kicked off on Thursday. Do you have any other upset picks in mind in that first round?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple that I've been looking at. I really like McNeese over Gonzaga, which is actually the other side of KU's pod. So if they were able to survive Samford, I think that they would face McNeese in the second round. McNeese is 30-3. They've got Will Wade, who's kind of ended his LSU career in disgrace, and he's trying to work his way back. But, man, they put together a good team this year, and Gonzaga isn't the Gonzaga of old. I also really like James Madison against Wisconsin in a 12-5 matchup. James Madison is 31-3 this year. Wisconsin did have a great run to the Big Ten tournament final, but, you know, they just look pretty beatable to me. And then the other one from the first round is another 12-5. Look out for Grand Canyon against St. Mary's. Grand Canyon's got really experienced guard play, which is extremely important in the NCAA tournament. They're 29-4 this year. St. Mary's has actually, you know, finally reached that point of surpassing Gonzaga. You know, they were able to knock them off in the regular season, then again in the conference tournament title game, and that's a big deal for their program. But I think they get upset in the first round by Grand Canyon, the Antelopes.
So I said before we start talking tourney that I already have my final four picked out. Do you have your final four picked out?
Mostly. Okay. I'm really torn. Well, let's start with what I do know. I feel really good about UConn out of the East, and I feel really good about Houston out of the South.
Probably the two best teams in the country.
I think they are. You know, Houston looked awful against Iowa State in the Big 12 final, but I think that they have that formula to go on a deep run. I would be thoroughly surprised if Houston did not go to the Final Four. So my national champion will probably be either Houston or UConn. The other regions really are up in the air for me. I mean, North Carolina is good. I've never really felt like they were a great team this year, but I would say the same thing about Arizona being the two. I think Arizona's pretty good with Caleb Love. They may get my Final Four pick, but over in the Midwest, you've got Purdue, who's the one. They are the most complete team in the country, maybe. They've got the best player in the country in Zach Edey, and yet who trusts Purdue to get it done? Because it's kind of like you know, with Iowa State and never winning the big game. Well, Purdue has kind of had that same issue. And that's why, even though KU has a little bit of a scary draw in their first round game, I still think that KU has a favorable path to potentially at least getting to the Elite Eight. And if they do that and they face Purdue, I'm going to trust Bill Self to get the job done in that spot if they make it that far.
And Purdue was a one seed last year, and they blew it in the first round to a 16 seed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
with Zach Edey.
I think that Purdue will learn their lesson from last year, and I think that they'll win by 50 or 60 in their first game. But once they get matched up, you know, against a Utah State or a TCU in that second round, I mean, we've seen, you know, TCU has some great players and can really cause a lot of problems for you. It's not that Purdue isn't good. It's just that it's one of those things that you got to prove it on the court, and you got to prove it in March Madness, and we haven't seen that from the Boilermakers yet.
Well, Tyler Dreiling has provided his picks. What are your picks? Let us know at newsradiokman.com. Head there right now and fill out the 2024 Booth Creek Wadigou Bracket Challenge. The brackets are open. $750 going to first place. Second place, a 65-inch Roku TV. And how about third place wins a $250 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu here in Manhattan. Tyler, before we wrap up, hit him with the info one more time to how they can find out more about Booth Creek Wagyu and where you guys are at.
Sure. You can visit us online at boothcreekwagyu.com. And, of course, come see us in our retail store in front of Menards next to Culver's. And it's not just a retail store. It's a sampling kitchen. And we love talking beef with people. So you can come in, try some of our product, and hopefully find that perfect thing you're looking for a great season of watch parties here over the next few weeks.
Well, who doesn't like a good steak? Who doesn't like to win a little bit of money in a TV? So that all comes together with the 2024 Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge, which is open now at newsradiokman.com. Tyler, thank you for coming back into K-Man. Thank you for coming in. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Sure. I mean, it's awesome being back in here, and you know, a lot of great memories from this place, and hopefully I can make it back in before the next, you know, what, 6 years has passed or something like that.
Well, there is an NCAA tournament every year.
Yes.
And so I filled out my bracket. Tyler's filled out his bracket. Now is the time for you to fill out your bracket at newsradiokman.com. We'll continue with Wildcat Insider after this timeout on News Radio KMAN. Oh man, what's this bed?
Kiss the Rain by Billy Myers.
Billy Myers?
I have no idea who he is either.
I don't know if I... Man, that one just doesn't ring a bell for some reason. Maybe if I hear the lyrics, that would help. All right, we're back. Wildcat Insider News Radio KMAN. This is the third time this year this has happened to me where I just get hooked on watching ticket sales, which is kind of weird because the K-State women hosting the first round of the NCAA tournament, first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament, with becoming the four seed in the Albany second region, which is, boy, it seems like the region of death because you have Iowa, you have UCLA, you have LSU. I mean, the two teams that played for the national championship last year are in the same region, and it's the same as K-State. So it would be an absolute gauntlet to get to the Final Four.
It would be, absolutely. Boy, that is a gauntlet.
There's only one team that scares me. And I was actually talking with who was all in the – it was like Casey Scott, Brian Smoller. There were some other people in the conversation. And Smoller brought up that that the only team that scares him for sure, like, is South Carolina. Like, I agree. I really do. I think K-State can beat anybody, and nobody has beaten South Carolina yet. So, I mean, it does feel like, you know, it would be a tall task.
I was very surprised, and I probably shouldn't have been, but I was very surprised when they lost last year. I didn't think they were. I didn't think anybody was going to beat
them. Well, yeah, Iowa beat South Carolina, right?
I mean, I knew they had Caitlin Clark, but I was like, man, you look at South Carolina. They were defending champs. They were really good last year. I was like, well, they're just going to repeat. Well, they didn't. And again, that's just the beauty of March Madness for you, either with the men or the women. I mean, anything can happen.
South Carolina was not the best three-point shooting team last year. Well, now they
it's
are.
True.
They're
yeah.
a younger team this year,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, let's see how that unfolds in the NCAA tournament, playing with such a young team. And meanwhile, of course, Iowa, Caitlin Clark. It's the Caitlin Clark show until she's no longer in the show. Until she goes to a different show.
Going to the Indiana Fever, most likely.
Yeah, yeah. Number one overall pick, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, South Carolina, they had a player last year that went number one to Indiana.
And who are the, let's see, we have Texas and USC, right? They're the other, because Stanford, right, did not get a number one seed, and Texas got that. I mean, Texas, I think they deserve it. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. There wasn't anything, like, too egregious, I thought, with the seeding of the women's bracket, like there was with the men. I mean, right away, we saw Florida Atlantic get an 8. And Florida Atlantic, I mean, credit to what they did last year. They gave us more Elite Eight nightmares, but they made it to a Final Four as a 9 seed. But Florida Atlantic this year is not an 8 seed.
I agree.
They were way overseeded. I did not think that was a rightful place for Florida Atlantic, but it was a lot of that. Virginia should not be in the NCAA tournament. Oklahoma should definitely be in over Virginia. There's no doubt about that. I did not think Virginia should be in the tournament. I mean, there's just a number of those for the men's. On the women's side, I really didn't have too many issues with the seeding. So, but we do have an update on the ticket sales for the all-session ticket sales for Friday and Sunday. And the last update is what, under 3,200 tickets left?
That's what I was told by Matt. I don't know if that's changed, but as of 5 o'clock, he said 3,200.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, 2 hours ago, it was 3,800. So
there's still some tickets, but you got to hurry because you don't know. Those numbers could have changed in the last 49 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. I keep refreshing, and now you can go buy just single session if you want, first round or second round. You can go do that now. And also, parking is on sale, and it's going to be $10 parking. You can do that. You can do that as all one, like, you know, both sessions combined, $10 parking. So that's not a bad deal at all. So highly suggest going to get those tickets because this is going to be a lot of fun. And it starts on Friday with the women tipping off at 3:30 against Portland. The Pilots of Portland, the champions of the WCC, will be in town. And Bramlage Coliseum, then Colorado and Drake will be the 5-12 matchup. But there's a lot of people feel like that Drake can upset Colorado. I'm not sure if I'm going there yet, even though Colorado has lost 6 of their last 8 games.
I would like to see K-State play Colorado, but Drake would definitely be a fun one to watch because I think Drake's pretty good.
You can't wait till next year?
I can't wait till next year. I want to beat Colorado. Well, I know, but I feel like if they play Colorado, they get a better shot.
Well, and I mean, people forget LSU, who entered the season as the overall number one, I'd say overall, the number one team in the nation preseason, Colorado beat them in game one in Vegas.
Yep.
And that was before K-State played USC.
Mm-hmm.
So that Colorado team is coming here. That could potentially be around a 32 game. But again, and it was funny, is actually when K-State hosted last, which was 7 years ago, I believe, Drake was that opening round game for K-State.
Yeah, it was.
And there were a decent amount of Drake fans that showed up. By the way, going back to the men's bracket, if I may, I thought it was very interesting. The actual Omaha region, or the pod, or whatever you want to call it, it's all on the east side that is going to be meeting up in Omaha, and you'll have Illinois, Drake, Iowa State, and South Dakota State all attending in Omaha, are all playing in Omaha. So you're talking about, I don't know, how far is Champaign from Omaha?
How far?
I mean, you would have the best guess on that. You're from Chicago.
Several hours, probably. Probably. I don't know because I've never done that drive. I know Champaign's a couple of hours from where I'm at.
7 hours. That's not terrible.
It's a shorter drive than it is for me from where I live to Manhattan.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. Have you ever been to Omaha?
No, I've never been to Omaha. I've been to Lincoln.
Omaha's a cool town.
Yeah.
Omaha's really cool. Downtown.
Were you there for the College World Series?
No, I've been up there multiple times for K-State baseball and K-State soccer.
Gotcha.
But when I was up there with soccer, it was more we stayed a couple of nights because we would play Creighton and play Omaha. So knock out a weekend. We're staying up there 3 or 4 days. No, nice. Omaha's a fun town.
Nice.
It really is. Got some culture up there. It's definitely the culture capital of Nebraska. Mm. Right across the river from the state of Iowa. But that's gonna be the best environment for the round of 64 and 32 of the men's NCAA tournament because you got a lot of locals heading to one area. I mean, it's not just the top seed; they get to host. It's like they're the host school, and most of their fans will be there. They're gonna sell all the tickets. South Dakota State, I think Brookings is maybe 5 hours. That's a get 4 hours maybe from Omaha. Ames is 2.5 hours away. Drake, just a few hours away. I mean, it's all driving distance of all these programs. So it's going to be a great crowd from all these schools showing up. It's going to be the best environment you'll find this weekend. All right, let's take our final break of the show. We'll wrap up Wildcat Insider when we come back. Stick around on K-Man after we wrap up here at 6 o'clock. We have the Jeff Mitty Show coming up at 6 from PowerCast Sports Grill. Looking at the week this week for baseball, they'll be at Wichita State tomorrow night. That's a 6 o'clock first pitch, pregame at 5:30 with Brian Smoller on the broadcast. And then this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Houston Cougars from Schroeder Park. Friday, first pitch at 6:30. Also, same first pitch on Saturday. And then it's Sunday, first pitch at 1 o'clock between the Cats and the Cougs. Well, of course, the first four will be tomorrow and Wednesday. The first game Thursday of the round of 64 for the NCAA tournament will be Michigan State and Mississippi State. 11:15 on CBS. But 15 minutes prior to that is your deadline to get signed up and get your bracket submitted for the 2024 Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge. First place taking home $750 in cash. Second place, a 65-inch Roku TV, which, guys, I have one. Big TV, perfect for the living room, perfect for the man cave, for watching the NCAA tournament, or really any sport. Makes it that much better to watch. Third place, a $250 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu, and that'll buy you a whole bunch of delicious, juicy, tender Wagyu steaks.
I always have to laugh at the weird times for some of these tip-offs, like 9:37.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's so random.
Well, Thursday, we will start wall-to-wall coverage, and that means coverage starting at like 11 a.m., and it'll wrap up at midnight. So, literally, here on K-Man, wall-to-wall NCAA tournament action, we're going to bring you as many games as we possibly can throughout the entirety of the NCAA tournament. Plus, the K-State men NIT action at Iowa tomorrow, 8 o'clock tip, pregame at 7. All right, that's going to do it for Wildcat Insider. I want to thank Wyatt Thompson for calling in hour number one. Tyler Drawing from Booth Creek Wagyu joining us in studio here in hour number two for AJ Shaw. I'm Mitch Fortner. We'll see you tomorrow for an hour and a half of the game here on News Radio KMAN.
Getting you close.